Welcome to Change Narratives, where we spotlight innovators and change makers who are doing things differently. On this particular episode, we're doing something very interesting. We're going to be spotlighting people who have used the very opportunity they've been given to do more, and then they continue to do more. And that's why we think it's very important to tell their story today. And with me, I have
Tomi Olukure.
Olumide Shangotoki.
Wadi Ben Hirki.
And these guys here are they're amazing because they're currently doing some work with the World Bank's Youth Innovation Fund, which is available to World Bank staff under the age of 35. And these opportunities are supposed to give young innovators the money to do something within their communities. However, they can't do it alone. They have to do it with other social entrepreneurs. And that's why Wadi's here. Wadi runs the Wadi Ben Hirki Foundation, and we're here together with the Wings team. So I'll just let them talk a bit about their project before we go into the main business.
Okay. So hi, everyone. As I said before, my name is Tomi Olukure. I go by Tomi. I'm the team lead for the Women in IDP's Nurturing Growth and Strength Project, the Wings Project. And as Jamebi has already said, we worked with lovely sponsorship twice now. From the Youth Innovation Fund of the World Bank to increase the capacity of women and girls in IDP camps. In our phase one, we did a group of girls who were 18 and above, just to avoid issues of consent and things like that. But as we went into implementation and as the second opportunity presented itself for Wings to continue, we expanded our age group to girls who are 13 to 19 and above. So we'll be having two different age groups in this phase two. And apart from that, we're also including an aspect of livelihoods improvements using artificial intelligence. So that's going to be an aspect of our digital skills training. We have different curriculums across our very wide range of curriculums, but four main knowledge areas, and one of them is digital skills. So as Dumitri said, we have myself here, I'm team lead for Wings, and we have Olumide Shobutoki, who is the digital innovations lead for the team. And then we also have our partnering organization, Wadi Ben Hirki Foundation, who is our implementing partner. And I'll let Wadi talk a bit about how Wings started to form. Okay.
So Wadi Ben Hirki Foundation was registered in 2015, 10 years ago.
Wow.
And it's a youth-led organization that is dear to our hearts. I say because yes, I founded it, but you know, it's in collaboration with many people, young people who, you know, are equally passionate. I come from Northeast Nigeria, and with all that had happened prior to a year before, we had the Chibok girls who were kidnapped. And coincidentally, the Chibok is not too far from where I come from. And my mom knew women whose children were part of the girls. So to the world, it was statistics and it was girls who were far, but to us, it was very close to home. And we're like, oh, let's do something. We didn't even know what we were doing, but we just started. And 10 years after, of course, there have been a lot of challenges, but it's been rewarding because we've learned, we've seen impact. And for us, impact is not just the quantity, but the quality and sustainability of the work that we do. And we've done, or we carry out four projects. There's the streets to school, and by implication, of course, ensuring children have access to quality and equitable education. We have Girls Not Wise, we're fighting against child marriage, where like girls should reach the age of consent before, you know, getting married. Then we have Love in the Midst of War because of all the violent conflict that is going on. And we believe Nigeria is a country that has so many religions, tribes and all. So we're trying to promote social cohesion and people to love one another regardless of who you are or where you come from. And lastly, we have SheRose, which is women empowerment, economic empowerment, psychosocial and the likes. And of course, in 2023, we had a program, you know, Tomi, you know, and I, we came together, we're like, for International Day of the Girl Child, what can we do? And then we carried out a project in the IDP camp where Wings currently, you know, intervenes. And it was so wholesome, it was emotional because we're like, these girls, they deserve a right to life, to not just survive but thrive. And then we gave them shirts that had nice affirmations. We got, you know, sanitary pads worth of a year that could last a year, and so many other things, of course, in partnership with many other people. And after that, we're like, oh, how can we sustain this? How can we make it more sustainable? And thankfully, that was when the opportunity came to apply, and the rest, they say, is history. So it's been really amazing working with the, you know, core team from the bank, coming with different areas of expertise, knowledge, and passion, you know, to carry out this work. And again, we have Wings 2.0, so we're so happy about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Wadi. That was actually, you answered all the questions. Oh, all right, sorry. Thank you, guys. The interview is over. I'm just playing.
I'm sorry.
So my next question really is, where's my T-shirt?
You'll get one soon.
Yes. Okay, please, it's on camera.
Yes, yes. Okay. We assure you of that.
So it's really interesting that you're focusing on women in IDPs, especially young girls, because I feel like when focusing on IDPs, right, it's easy to get lost in the sauce, you know, because you want to focus on the women there, but nobody really focuses on the girls. So why Wings? Why did you choose a specific intervention? Because you have all of these things you've listed under these categories, and I'm sure you're working with different age groups, right? So why was it Wings, and how did you guys come about selecting the group of girls or the group of people to intervene in?
Okay, so I'll start and pass on to you. All right, so as Wadi already talked about, they have a project under Wadi Benherki's foundation called Love in the Midst of War. And myself and a couple of other youths like us from uni, even, we had started volunteer efforts in different settings. So there were settings that were just displacement. They weren't camps per se, but just areas that people were living in displacement. I myself had experienced a type of displacement in Kaduna when there was that civil crisis that was happening, and my family and I had to literally escape the state behind a truck van. And I was just thinking, you know, when we were doing those volunteer efforts, that like, this could have been me. I could have very easily been any of these girls, because like, yeah, life could happen to literally anybody, right? So apart from the emotional side of that, there's also the economic part of it, because like you said, a lot of people decide to focus on women first, and that's an obvious starting point, because first of all, they're adults, they have more experience. Of course, they have their challenges, and I mean, I work in gender work, so I know the challenges for women in particular, but there's really there's very little intervention specifically for girls who are becoming women. And so if you are able to address certain things for them at that age, meet them where they are now, they begin to develop certain mindsets. They begin to have a positive outlook to different things. They begin to have a possibility mindset. And I mean, that's extremely important for people who literally have nothing now and went from, you know, their everyday going to school or going to farm or saying hi to grandpa and grandma on your way to school or whatever, to witnessing their family members being chopped up in front of them and then having to escape through mountains and valleys for weeks, months, sometimes a year, and then end up in a camp, hopefully, right, if they're not killed from hunger, exhaustion, or literally anything else along the way. So I mean, building back that possibility mindset in people like that, it's not easy, but it's much more possible with kids, or not kids, but it's much more possible with people who have not fully become women already, because then at least there's something to work with, there's some molding that can be done. I think with women, it's very, you still have a lot longer of a journey to like pierce through before you get to the possibility mentality. And I at the bank, I work on the Nigeria for Women project, and I know how many months we spent in just, you know, oh, this is what the project is about, you can do this, do you know you can save, you know, all those kind of things, you can keep your books properly for business and all of that. And I mean, we work with women, actual like women with families, children and things like that, so it's much more difficult. But I think with children, it's a bit easier in the sense that they have a wide-eyed personality, so they're willing to listen to you, they're willing to hear what you want to say, and they still have the decision to, you know, take it up or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what really formed Wings. It's very personal for me. And then apart from that, I mean, there's an economy to it, which is that you're building a generation of people who are resilient, who have a possibility mindset, and who just, they can, so they will.
You know, it's really, really interesting, you know, how you guys came about this. You mentioned something very important. So I want to start off from there. Okay. You said from uni. Mm-hmm. What's that about? What's going on?
Okay, so from, like Wadi said, she established the foundation in 2015. And so from university, we have been doing volunteer work.
So you guys went to the same uni?
Yes.
And secondary school.
Oh, wow. So do you think this connection that you guys already have is what's making Wings work? So for instance, now you guys could maybe potentially found something together. You're always working together because apparently you did something in 2023 and all of that. Do you think your friendship or the relationship you currently have is what's helping Wings out?
I'll let you answer.
Yes, I would say it is, right? Because we've known each other for almost 2 decades. We're not that old, by the way. But of course, yeah, since we were like
at 10, least over 2 decades.
Yeah, yeah. Since we were 10.
Oh, wow.
Right? And just one and all. And it's been us just supporting each other in, you know, both big and small things, in tough times and happy times and all of that. And I would say that has helped. And because we have similar lived experiences, especially growing up in Kaduna, so there's a lot that we were exposed to from our formative years.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to sort of have empathy about this because we know what it feels like. We've never lived in camps and all, but we know what, you know, living in a lot of fear looks like, or having family torn apart sometimes, or many of these things. So that passion is there. And of course, her being a very integral part of the foundation since its formation, you know, inception, it just, you know, I don't have to say much about what we have. And now vice versa, even with Wings, there's no, you know, sometimes, of course, because when you have passion and you, you know, want to do something, it's like, we need to do it. And sometimes things are going on both sides. But because we understand each other, and it's not like friendship, it's sisterhood at this point. So we get to understand and build something that we hope will last beyond, you know, our lifetime. So more of legacy, you know, for other people. So it has helped to sustain, and it will continue to help to sustain, if I answered your question.
Okay. Yes. Okay, because I really like you guys' relationship. I think I've said it before, that I like your rapport. Because you guys are women supporting each other, and then women supporting women, and girls who are going to be women. Olumide, I haven't forgotten you.
I'm enjoying the big girl mass, what they call it. It's
I haven't forgotten you, because this next question is actually for you. Okay, so I know a lot of the work, correct me if I'm wrong, Tomi and Wadi, a lot of the work that's happening in, you know, the gender area of the social sector is focusing on involving men. You know, I think there are now boys clubs and things like that, helping boys to be more involved in preventing GBV and a lot of these issues that could be affecting women. Olumide, I wanted to ask you about male involvement when it comes to working with these girls. So you're a digital man, and I wanted to know if you approach your training for girls differently.
Okay. Differently, that's if you already approached the training for guys.
guys. No, hear me out. No, because Tomi said something. She said you're working with girls who are now becoming women, and it's easier to work with them.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, like, is there a way you approach this? Because let's say they're a different age group, you know, and because they're girls, and these are girls in IDPs, they're especially vulnerable, you know. So how do you approach your training them on digital skills?
So funny enough, let me not use the word, like, I know very much how to relate with women because of my background, where I grew up. I grew up mostly among women, like growing up, everything
on
around
purpose.
Me is always around women, both in the workplace, as you can see now.
Yeah.
I'm really good. So that has already trained me in a way on how to, like, when it comes to talking to women, how to kind of, like, be patient with them. So I extend this when it comes to training with these women. So for me, it's kind of like easy. Though, so from our guys, it's kind of easy for me to relate with them, to joke around them, to be able to talk to them. So also, like, it makes it very much easy to communicate with them.
Okay, so these girls, right? They come with, you know, Tomi says that they're wide-eyed, you know. I remember when I was younger, I'm sure my dad is going to see this interview. There was something he did during a summer holiday. He made me go to learn Excel.
Oh, okay.
You're saying okay, like it's not serious. I was 13. I should have been having fun. I should have been doing more important things, but I was learning Excel. These are skills that, to be honest, I'm grateful for now. And I remember there were certain questions I started to ask my teachers. And that was when I started to do tasks, right? And I think I started to talk more because I was given specific tasks to do, practical tasks, like, you know, do from 1 to 10, put the names of your classmates, things like that. So what's your approach to training these girls? And do you see maybe anything that you could do to change your approach as you teach them, you know, and maybe to encourage them to engage more with you?
All right, so basically what we do for ours is that we make our classes kind of like much more interactive with the teachers. So basically, as much as you're trying to train them on what to do, you're also making it much more practical, whereas you're making sure these girls are assimilating what they're doing. Because what we're basically just the basic digital literacy skill, like how to kind of like create folders, how to kind of like set up your email, how to like create WhatsApp messages and the rest. So we're just going down with that. And we've seen that that has been very much more helpful because they like to interact. We've already given them that this room where they can communicate with us, where they can talk to us, they can ask any questions. So no question is a stupid question. So the girls already have that, so they're very much comfortable in that space. So and they come to us even. So there was one lady who came to us, told us about the use of Canva on previous training. That's what even brought the idea of us saying, okay, let's integrate AI into this. So that these girls already have that mindset that, okay, want to try and expand beyond what we are doing. We want to try and see how can we improve our business using the digital skills. So that's what making us go, okay, let's go further than this. We said these girls are capable. They have the zeal with them. Let's go further than this and integrate AI into what we are teaching them.
That's super cool. Yeah. Learning Canva is really great stuff because there's so much you can do with Canva now.
Yes.
I'm not ad placing, please.
But,
100%. So is there anything that they have done, you know, with the skills you've given them? Any practical thing? Any actual outcome?
So, let's go.
Okay. Yes, so to add, right, before intervention, we have the needs assessment and baseline survey. And that's because we integrate the concept of nothing about us without us. We don't go saying, oh, this is our solution. They're part of it from inception. So they take ownership in that sense. So we're not just giving them what we think, right? They are part of it. They tell us where, you know, it hurts and what actually they need. Mm-hmm. And then we work with consultants as well, with teachers, there's training of trainers. So there are different stages, right? And like he said, they're part of it. And we have this, we don't want to call it ground rules, but rules of engagement where they understand things like, you know, empathy, things like respect for one another. So even those that are shy, we make it conducive enough for them to be courageous enough to start speaking up. And that's where our psychosocial curriculum comes in, where they learn affirmations, they learn things like being courageous and beautiful and bold, and they repeat it. And over time, you see that it sinks in, right? And it helps to build confidence. So from week one to when they graduated, you can see, you know, the progress, you know, if that makes sense. And we, upon completion, right, we don't just let them go. We actually have the livelihoods, you know, where they were assessed based on what were you already doing and how can you scale up, or if you are not doing anything, what do you want to do? And they have kits, right, that during graduation they were given to help scale up what they're already doing. And for some of them, they were, you know, they've been assigned to training schools. There's tailoring, there is hair making, there are a few things, farming, baking and all, so that they are sustained economically. So even after that, they are now part of alumni and we follow up with them. So it's not just, oh, bye, right? It's like we see the progress and then we get reports from their trainers, right?